I'm just not sure how much longer I can hold out. She's a temptress, and she's calling my name. I drink her in, every inch of her toned body. There was a time in my life when I was allowed to explore her freely, where she'd beg for me to touch her. I want to relive those memories and make them my reality. Her heels are shorter than most women wear. I like this. It allows me to pull her close and look down at her, which I plan to do all night. Her legs are bare, leading to the dress I know she picked up with Caitlin and teased me about. Visions of my hands going under the hem, grabbing her ass and pulling her to me, flood my mind. I have to close my eyes for a minute to clear my thoughts, because if I don't, we aren't leaving this house. It's empty tonight, and I don't have any qualms about taking advantage of that. Her little dress is one of those one-shoulder things, giving me ample opportunity to place my lips all over her shoulder and neck. Not that a sleeve or strap would have stopped me, but with this much freedom, I may not need a cocktail to ring in the new year. I'll be drunk off her. There is no one sexier than the woman standing before me. I contemplated tonight for a few days. I didn't know where to take her. Half of me wanted to take her to Los Angeles and show her off. I've been invited to a few parties for tonight, and any one of them would grant me the ability to parade her around. But that means paparazzi, and I'm not sure she's ready or realizes what it's going to mean to be with me. When I think about her picture spread all over the gossip rags, it makes me sick. I need to hire someone to handle the public side of my life now that I've fired Sam. I decided to take her to Ralph's. Tacky, I know, but it's close, and if we decide to drink, we can walk home. Although, with the way she's looking tonight, we may make a pit stop in a few very well-known backyards. Her eyes sparkle when she smiles. I reach for her hand, pulling her into the house. There is so much I want to ask her, and yet words seem so futile right now, especially when we can communicate with our bodies. I reach out and run my fingers lightly through her hair, brushing her long bangs away from her face. She sighs when I cup her cheek. I fight the urge to lean down and kiss her. Once I do, our night will escalate, and I want to enjoy her. I want to take her on a date. I'm a selfish man. I want heads to turn when I walk in with her on my arm. God, you're gorgeous, I say quietly. You're so fucking hot. Her eyes go wide as she covers her mouth. I pull her hand away from her mouth. You think so?
Don't be cocky.
My reaction is to pull her close and let her feel what she does to me. Her eyelids flutter, causing me to close my eyes. With my forehead against hers, my hands trail over her ass. Her breathing stills when I push her into me. Her tiny gasp sends waves of heat through my body. If I don't let go, I'm going to take her right here on the floor. I promised her a date. I step away from her reluctantly. Her eyes shimmer with want. I definitely plan to deliver. I take her hand in mine and lead her out of the house. I need the fresh air and a crowded place, otherwise I'm not going to make it through the night without stripping her bare, or at least hiking up that dress of hers. In the car, I place her hand on my thigh. It's a mistake. I have a feeling tonight will be a long list of mistakes. Her fingers brush against me each time I shift, and I'm finding a lot of reasons to shift. I feel her stiffen when we pull into Ralph's. The excitement that was evident on the way here is gone. She's upset. I lean over and pull her face to mine, my lips meeting hers. She softens against me. I hold her to me, my hand cupping her face. It's not what you expected.
No, it's fine.
She turns away from me, her hands rubbing down the front of her dress. her earlier smile now masked by indifference. I wanted to take you to L.A. There are all these parties, and I know you'd have a good time, but I wouldn't be able to keep my hands off you, and the paparazzi would be all over you. My fingers traced the top of her dress. I wanted to give you all of my attention tonight. She looks down at my finger as it caresses the swell of her breast. She looks at me. I don't want to share you, Jojo. That day is going to come soon enough, probably sooner than we think. I just want one night where I can hold you, dance with you, and touch you without people being in my face about it.
The last time you were here, people took your photo,
she reminds me. I turn away from her and follow a group of people into Ralph's. I never expected her to want the glitz and glamour that my life offers. I should have asked her what she wanted before bringing her here. Maybe I should have known she'd want a taste of the celebrity life. Hell, I denied her the opportunity once before. Maybe I should throw her into it. Josie, I can give you anything you want, but I can't offer you peace and quiet all the time. We've been lucky with the paparazzi. You know, I'm having a gate installed and a concrete fence because I want our home to be private. I want Noah to be able to play outside. We need security. I don't want to give up who I am, but I want a life with you, and tonight, I want it to be here in our hometown because next year, I could be on tour, or we could be at a party someplace. I just want one night.
Which Liam am I out with tonight?
I smirk. I never thought I'd hear that question come out of her mouth. I wasn't aware there were two.
There definitely are.
Well, which one do you want? My voice is deep, dangerous. I'm tempting her, waiting for her answer, even though I know what she's going to say.
Paige,
she answers seductively. You want the rock star? The bad boy? She nods. Who am I to deny her? I get out of the car, slamming the door. I hesitate, looking at her shadow in the front seat. Liam Paige would never have a woman in his car, let alone open a door for her. But she's my girl. I step to her side and open the door for her. I can't help but gawk at her legs as she steps out of the car, her hand in mine. I kiss her briefly before pulling her behind me into Ralph's. Inside, the place is packed. Ralph brought in a DJ for the night in hopes of increasing business. He's definitely done that. Josie and I hit the bar first. I order us each a drink. Whiskey for me and some fruity-ass drink for her. Ralph says hi and tells me he has a reserved table for us. Not something I wanted, but I'll take it as there's no place to sit. Leading Josie through the crowd of people, my name is shouted. Women look at me with lust in their eyes, and people slap me on the back. Word has spread that this is my hangout. Good for Ralph. Bad for me. Our booth is in a dark corner, which I like. Josie slides in first and I follow, sitting as close as I can to her. I drape my arm over her shoulder, sliding my fingers under the top of her dress. Her hand is on my thigh, stroking my leg. If she keeps that up, we won't be here very long. She looks at me, her eyes full of anticipation. I hate what I'm about to do to her, but she asked for it. I lean, my nose running along her jaw until I get to her ear. I bite down gently. Hearing her gasp urges me on. I suck her earlobe into my mouth. My hand trails up her leg, pushing her thighs slightly apart.
Is that what you do on a date?
She asks eagerly. I don't date, I reply quickly.
Ever?
She asks as her voice breaks. I kiss my way toward her mouth before answering. I fuck. I capture her lips with mine before she can say anything. Her lips and tongue react immediately to mine, My fingers reach her panties. They're silk and wet. I pull my hand away and stop kissing her. I can't sit here in this booth with her like this, willing to let me do things in public. I grab her hand and pull her out to the dance floor. I want more for us when we're together again.
Did I do something wrong?
She asks, close to my ear. She has to yell over the music. I shake my head. I don't know if I can be Liam Page around you. He doesn't treat women very well. She answers me by grinding against me, urging me on, showing me she doesn't care. God, I love her, but we can't happen like this. Purple Rain comes on. It's the song we first danced to at homecoming. It's perfect for us. I wrap my arms around her waist, my hands resting on her ass. She places her hands in my hair. Closing my eyes, I let the music move us, guide us. I want her to feel her effect on me. She needs to know that I want her, that my body is craving her. I open my eyes and look down at the woman who holds all my fantasies. Her finger traces the outline of my lip before she leans in and shows me how much she wants me. We make out like the horny teenagers we once were, in a bar full of people we used to know.
Chapter 36. Josie. I want to live in these arms. They make me feel secure, loved, needed. His hands don't roam. They stake their claim and hold me tight to his body. He leads us on the dance floor in a sinful tangle of gyrating hips. His eyes are dark and seductive. I'm done allowing him to question my state of mind. I vow to make him mine. The song changes, but we don't move. It's like the DJ knows we want to be close. Not that we'd stop what we're doing. I rest my head on his shoulder, my body keeping rhythm with his. I don't know how I've forgotten what it feels like being with him like this. I used to count the days until our next dance just so I could hold him. I place small kisses on his neck. He grips me tighter and nuzzles my ear. My hand finds the top button of his shirt. I play with the button until it opens. His hand stills mine, pulling it away from his shirt. I'd pout if he could see my face fully. He sets my hand on his chest, just over his heart, and holds it there as his lips touch mine, softly. He pulls away abruptly and looks over his shoulder. A woman comes into view. Her hair is piled on top of her head in a messy, I-don't-give-a-shit bun. Her skin-tight red dress is showing so much of her breasts. Liam doesn't have to imagine what they look like. She licks cherry red lips and she looks at Liam like he's taking her home tonight. "Can I have this dance?" she asks brazenly. Can't she see he's with someone?
"I'm kind of busy."
He turns back to me, his expression telling me he's sorry we were interrupted. "How about an autograph or a picture?" Liam rolls his eyes. Apparently, she doesn't get it. She pulls her cell phone out of the top of her dress and hands it to me. I look at Liam, my eyebrow raised. If he thinks I'm touching that phone, he's nuts, let alone take a picture of them together.
"No pictures, not tonight. I'm on a date."
"Maybe we can meet up later?" Before I can say anything, Liam says,
"I'm on a forever kind of date, so no thanks."
She looks annoyed and glares at me. "Sorry, chick. He's mine. If I have to wear a shirt claiming him, I will." She pulls out a tube of lipstick and spins it until the bright red is showing. "Sign here." She runs her finger over the top of her breasts. Liam shakes his head.
"Paper or nothing,"
he says, turning back to me and pulling me into his arms. I can't help but throw her a knowing look and smile as I hold on to his shoulders. She stands there, her leg pointed out like she's just waiting for another opportunity to pounce on my man. We only sit for a little bit before more people come up and bug him, asking for photos or autographs. Women bring him drinks, but he pushes them aside. He tells me that he never accepts drinks from anyone because that's how Harrison ended up with Quinn.
He met this woman backstage and woke up at her place. 9 months later, she dropped off Quinn. I can't imagine leaving Noah. He's my life, and for the longest time, my only reminder of what Liam and I had. Liam takes me back to the dance floor. He requests a series of songs from the DJ. Most are his. Songs that I've memorized and know are about me, our love, and the things he wants to do to me. When the clock strikes 12, his lips claim mine, solid and confident, like he's been waiting for this moment forever. I know I have.
"Are you ready to get out of here?"
he says against my lips. He doesn't wait for an answer. He pulls me through the cheering crowd. When we're outside, he rushes us to the car. He pushes me up against it and wraps my legs around him. I feel him fumbling for the door. The leather is cold against my skin as he sets me down in the seat.
"Hold that thought."
Liam climbs into the car and starts it. He places my hand on his hard-on, sighing when I squeeze him lightly. He pulls out of the parking lot, gravel spitting out behind the car, and drives us home as fast as he can. My nerves are on fire when we pull into the driveway. I haven't moved my hand, and yet I feel as if this is our first time all over again. Except this time, we're in his house, not a hotel. I let myself out of the car and meet him around the front. We walk hand in hand into the dark house. Only the candles in the window light a path through the darkness. He bends, placing one arm under my legs, the other behind my back. He takes the steps slowly, his eyes penetrating mine. I can see the desire, feel it in the way he holds me. He pushes the bedroom door open, kicking it shut when we are inside. He sets me down on his bed and stands in front of me, pushing my hair off my shoulder. He kneels, letting his hands trail down my legs, sending a shiver over my skin. He picks up each foot and removes my shoes. His fingers dance along my skin until he reaches the hem of my dress. I stand, forcing him to take a half step back. My hands slide up his covered chest, fingers working the buttons. I'm so eager to see his chest, one that I've missed for so many years. I close my eyes when I get to the last button, my hands pushing aside the fabric. I allow my hands to explore feeling the tight ridges of his abs as my fingers memorize every plane. His hands clamp down on mine when I get to his chest.
"Open your eyes."
When I do, he lets go. He wanted to see my eyes when I finally discovered what he's been hiding. On his left pec, there's ink, and lots of it. It's dark, solid black. My finger outlines the edges, following the maze. "What's this?"
"It's a tribal design,"
he answers without hesitation.
"Trace here,"
he says, as he moves my fingers along his tattoo. I do as he asks, my mind telling me what my heart already knows. It says, "Jojo." I place an open-mouth kiss over my name. He pulls at my hips. I can feel him, his need evident through his jeans. He's been this way all night, waiting patiently to get us back here so we can finally be together. Liam turns me around, wrapping his arm around my waist. He rubs his hard-on against the swell of my ass. I can't help but push into him. He pushes my dress off my shoulder, his lips pressing against the exposed skin. I tilt my head, resting on his shoulder as his hands rub over my breasts. My hand reaches back, weaving through his hair. He moves away from me, lips burning a trail down my back. Fingers tug at my dress, pushing it down my legs. I'm bare, except for the thong I'm wearing. I feel his teeth pull at the side of my panties. I turn. I need to see him. Touch him. He picks me up and lays me on the bed, crawling over me. I arch up to feel his skin on mine. I drag my fingers through his hair. He looks at me, breathing shuddered. The intensity of his gaze makes my skin tingle in anticipation. His thumb brushes under the curve of my breast. He sits back,
undressing. I sit up and rub my hand over his chest, abs, and finally, his bulge. His eyes roll back in his head as I touch him. He crawls over me, pushing me back into the mattress. I wrap my arms around his shoulders, urging him. He settles on me, his weight and heat a welcome feeling.
I love you, Jojo,
he says against my lips. He holds my hands above our heads, his forehead touching mine. Our mouths drop open in ecstasy, remembrance as he moves, working his body into mine. I cry out, grasping at his hands. My legs move over his hips, guiding and holding him where I need him most. I moan as he flexes his hips, going deeper. I can't stop looking at him, his eyes watching me, relearning how good we are together. When he lets go of my hands, I dig into his ribs, encouraging him to move faster. Liam moves to his knees, moving my body by the push and pull of my legs.
I need to look at you,
he says breathlessly. My hands clamp down on his forearms, hanging on as he moves us in rhythm. He drops my legs, moving to kiss me. He makes love to my mouth while he moves faster, harder, bringing me to the edge. Liam, I need more. He knows my body and grunts just as my orgasm takes over. My toes curl. My nails dig into his ass as I lift my hips to meet his last thrusts. He stills, collapsing on top of me. I lay there, my muscles weak and tired, yet completely satisfied and ready to do this again. I stroke his back, causing him to shiver. I kiss his neck, his cheeks, and finally lips. I love you, Liam. I love you so much. He looks at me and smiles. He leans on his elbow, not moving from where he's nestled between my legs. He could stay there forever for all I care. He moves my damp hair away from my face and kisses my nose.
Move in with me. You and Noah move here, and we'll be a family. I want you to call this your home. I want to do normal things with you, like go grocery shopping and meet you for lunch at work.
That sounds like the American dream.
No, my girl. That's our dream. If you want it, I'll give it to you.
I want it. Liam's smile lights up the dark room. We kiss for a while before he rolls over and pulls me on top of him.
Chapter 37. Liam. Son, come down here. My eyes roll automatically when he speaks to me these days. I never thought I'd cringe at the sound of my father's voice, but I do. The closer I get to graduation, the more of a hard-ass he's become. The day I asked Josie to homecoming, the dissension started. My parents sat me down and explained the concept of socially acceptable standards. In a nutshell, Josie isn't country club enough to be seen with a Westbury. For the first time, I saw my parents in a different light. I was disgusted to be their son. I couldn't understand how they could say something so horrible about someone they didn't even know. The night of homecoming, I walked out of my house in my tux without saying goodbye or allowing my mom to take a picture. I wasn't going to let them dictate who I dated, or who I loved for that matter. I'll call you back, I say to Josie. She doesn't come over anymore. She gave up a long time ago. She even offered to break up with me so my life would be easier. I told her no way in hell was I going to let Sterling and Bianca Westbury drive her away. Josie is the best thing to ever happen to me. She understands me. Throwing my phone on the bed, I sigh. I'm counting the days until I'm out of here. Mason and I are taking the girls camping for a week before we leave for college. One last hurrah, and a week of pure solitude for me and Josie. No annoying parents looming over our shoulder. When I get downstairs, I'm greeted by an ominous look from my father. He's up to something. He pats me on the shoulder and leads me into the living room. There, sitting on the couch with her legs crossed, is his golfing buddy's daughter, Sasha. I groan and rub my hands over my face. In this position, I could elbow my dad in the gut and run for it. But Sasha has already seen me, and is standing, walking toward me with her hand out, as if I'm to kiss it. Like I owe her a thank you for being in my house. No thanks.
Liam, it's so good to see you.
Her voice is whiny, nasally. I can't stand it. I grimace, which only makes her smile brighter. Her teeth are so white, she could light a dark street at night. Sasha, I say coldly, uninterested.
Well, I thought you two could come with us tonight, Sterling says,
again with the eye rolling which Sasha witnesses.
Or we could stay in,
she offers. I recoil at the thought of spending time with her. I have plans.
Oh, I don't mind hanging out with you and your friends.
She laughs as her hand trails down my arm. I move away, offended by her touch. I don't remember offering, I want to blurt out. I'm sure you don't, but my girlfriend does, I say just so I can goad Sterling. He stiffens, and I want to laugh. His matchmaking is failing, which means his buddy is going to be pissed.
Excuse us for a moment, Sasha.
My dad grabs my arm and pulls me into the other room. I'm about to get a tongue-lashing, something I may thoroughly enjoy.
Liam, it's about time you look at your future. You're going away to college, and Sasha is a fine woman to have on your arm, especially when the NFL scouts you. You need to present the full package, and she completes that. You can't have riffraff from across the tracks hanging on just so she has someone to support her.
His words fuel nothing but pure anger.
You don't know shit about Josie and her family.
I point at him, pushing my finger into his chest.
You do nothing but sit on your pompous ass and look down on people who don't go to your stupid-ass country club. I love her, and I plan to marry her whether you like it or not. If you want some arm candy, why don't you date Sasha? She's probably looking for a sugar daddy anyway.
Where are you going? He asks as I walk away.
Out with my friends. It's Mason's birthday, so you'll have to entertain Sasha. Just don't let Mom catch you.
I slam the door, effectively cutting him off. I shake my head to clear away that memory. I've hated my dad for so long for the way he's treated Josie. Even though my mom comes around to see Noah, I refuse to step foot into their house. She's trying. I'll give her that. But him? No way. If he couldn't accept Josie in my life back then, I'll be damned if I'm going to allow him anywhere near my son. So much has changed in the past 4 months. Josie and Noah moved into our house after New Year's. Harrison and Quinn have also moved to Beaumont, and right into Josie's empty house, which I knew was going to happen. It all made sense. That also put him in the same neighborhood as Caitlin, where if you drive by on Saturday, you see him and his tattooed arms mowing her lawn. Tonight, we're celebrating Mason's birthday. It's been 7 months since he left us, and we've each struggled and coped differently. We held our fundraiser for Caitlin and the girls at Ralph's, which has become a local hotspot, and did fairly well. I've also hired Caitlin as my manager, effectively giving her a stay-at-home job, even though she has to come to my house and work every day. As soon as school is out for the summer, we're heading out on tour. 3 band members, 2 bossy women, and 4 kids, touring for 3 months. Band life will be different now. I'm waiting for Josie to get ready. My truck, a recently acquired 1965 Chevy, is strictly for water tower drinking. When I told Josie about my purchase, she slapped me in the arm and told me to grow up. Yet she's the first one to yell for a water tower night when we're in need of a reality check. I load the back of the truck with a cooler full of beer. Josie will be our designated driver tonight, which I'm thankful for. I want tonight to be fun and somewhat enjoyable for Caitlin. Josie walks out of the house, her arms full of food. I run over to her, kissing her on the cheek, and relieving her of the heavy load. We had the food catered, as I didn't want Josie or Caitlin stressing about what people will eat. I turn back and look at her after putting everything into the back of the truck. I take in her appearance. She's dressed in tight jeans with her red cowboy boots. Her tight, I love my rocker tank top, hugging her curves nicely. She dresses like this to tease me. I saunter over to her and sweep her into my arms, bending her backward and attacking her neck. She giggles and tries to push me away with her head. She finally relents, knowing I've won. I set her back on her feet. Ready? I ask. She nods, threading her fingers into mine. She climbs into the truck, through the driver's door, settling in the middle, just like in high school. When we arrive at the water tower, there are a bunch of people here. I was surprised when Caitlin said she wanted to invite people from high school, but went along with it. Josie and I hop out of the truck, hand in hand. I drop the tailgates and help her set up. Harrison comes over to say hi before snagging a beer out of the cooler. I'm going to head up, okay? I kiss her on the cheek and pocket a few beers. Mason's truck is lined up just perfectly for our beer torpedoes. Harrison follows me up the ladder. Most of the guys already at the tower know him, but I make a few introductions. We pop open our first beer and chug. On the count of three, we throw our bottles down. With the loud crash of glass shattering, we all yell out, "Mason!" The women start cheering, and the music is turned up. We start the party in true Mason style. As the night goes on, stories are told and retold. The comfortable camaraderie that we all had in high school is back. I'm no longer the asshole that ditched everyone, and Harrison fits in with everyone. I'm literally living the best of both worlds when I couldn't be happier. I look at Harrison when I hear him sigh heavily. "What's wrong with you?"
"Nothing,"
he says. I follow his gaze and see that Caitlin's talking to Bill Rogers, some geek turned millionaire for creating a computer program that everyone loves. Bringing my bottle of beer to my lips, I look back at Harrison. His expression is sad. I know he likes her, but is afraid of being turned down. "Take your time with Caitlin, man. Just be there and don't push her. They were together for a long time, but I know she notices you. I've heard her talking to Josie about you. Just seize the moment when it's there." Harrison starts laughing.
"If you're one to talk..."
"What the hell are you talking about?"
"You write song after song about how much you love that woman."
He points to Josie, who's talking to Jenna.
"You live with her, share a son, yet I don't see you asking her to marry your sorry ass."
I look from Josie to him and back again. "You're right." I stand up, holding on the railing, placing my fingers through my lips, and whistle loudly, getting everyone's attention.
"Hey, Josie!"
"What do you want, Westbury?"
she yells back. I love how some things haven't changed.
"Will you marry me?"
Someone kills the music, and silence spreads over the field. She moves closer to the water tower and sets her hands on her hips.
"If you're going to ask me, you better do it proper."
"Yes, ma'am."
I down my beer and toss it toward the truck and make my way to the ladder. I climb down carefully. When my feet hit the ground, I pat my pocket for the ring I've had in there for the past few weeks and pull it out, keeping it in my palm. I've just been waiting for the right moment. This must be it. I stroll over to her, my steps wide, so I'm there faster. Her hands are still on her hips, her eyes wide. She's not expecting this. I bend down on one knee in front of her. Her hand goes to her mouth, and there's a collection of gasps behind us. "Josie Preston, I have loved you since I was 16.
I know I've screwed up a whole lot, but I promise to make it up to you every day. Would you do me the immense honor of wearing my ring, taking my name, and becoming not only my partner in life, but most importantly, my wife? Josie nods. There are tears in her eyes, and I want to get up and kiss them away.
Yes, Liam. Yes, a million times over I'll marry you.
I pull her hand forward and slide the ring on, kissing her finger before I kiss her. There is a loud applause and cheering behind us. I love you, Jojo. You're forever my girl. This concludes Forever My Girl by Heidi McLaughlin. Narrated by Nelson Hobbs and Stephanie Rose. Copyright 2012 by Heidi McLaughlin. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Heidi McLaughlin, care of Corvisero Literary Agency, and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.